Blog Talk Radio.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs
to you. All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God. All the glory belongs to you. Oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God. Yeah.
To give your name the highest praise today. So we say hi,
hallelujah.
Say hi,
hallelujah.
Say hi,
hallelujah.
All the glory belongs to you, oh God.
Y'all know it by now. Come on, sing.
All the glory belongs.
All the glory belongs to you.
To you.
All the glory belongs to you, oh God.
Yeah.
All the glory belongs to you,
oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh Lord, we bless your name and we give you glory. We lift your high. All the earth, because you're worthy of all of the praise today, yeah, and we say,
coming to you from Baltimore, Maryland, Beth Yahweh Assembly in Mashiach Yahushua.
feeling good this morning, feeling good, feeling blessed as always to be used by the Most High to share what He has taught me. Excited about the new year beginning a couple of days ago. Last night was the 4th of Abib. So we're marching forward towards Pesach, our set-apart season, to reaffirm ourselves, recommit ourselves with Mashiach Yahushua by taking on His blood and His body yet again in memorial of what He has done for us. And also in memorial of our, like I said, a recommitment that we are acknowledging every year and taking the opportunity every year to recommit ourselves in being followers of our beloved teacher and Messiah, Yahushua. So I'm really feeling good. I really just happy, you know, really just feeling a spirit of happy and joy, which is good because today's lesson is our final installment in this three-part series of the weapons of our warfare, which took us a little bit over a month to walk through the different weapons the Father has given to us as His children to fight the enemy. And like we said before, it was by no stretch of the imagination an exhausted list. We only talked about three things: the power of praise, the power of fasting, and today we're looking at the power of praise. How when we fall into persecutions, tribulations, trying, testing, purging, as we battle against demonic forces, as in written in Ephesians 6, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spirits in high places. When we find ourselves in the belly of the beast, fighting for our lives, fighting for our sanity, fighting for peace, that we do have weapons the Father has given us because we are His children. He is our loving Father, our Messiah, Yahushua. He is Captain of the Host. He is the head of this army, and every commander makes sure that all of His warriors under Him have what they need to be successful. And we're looking today at praise. And I really like closing out the lesson with this one, because what we're going to do is we're going to actually open the line today. I have two people scheduled to call in to share with us how they experienced spiritual breakthrough because they simply applied their weapon of praising the Father. So before we go much further, let us go ahead and just start looking at what the Word talks about praise. Now, the word praise, it has a couple of Hebrew words to it in Scripture. But the first one we're going to look at is in the book of Bereshit, or Genesis. We're going to turn to chapter 29, and we're going to go down to verse 35. And this is when Leah has her fourth son. Verse 35 said, "And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, 'Now will I praise Yahweh.' Therefore she called his name Yehuda and left bearing." We look at the word praise in your Hebrew concordance, that is number 3034. And the word is yada, yada. The root meaning of yada, well, the actual meaning of yada is to throw, to shoot, or to cast. Just imagine you have a rock in your hand or a ball in your hand, and you're throwing it. That's the action of yada, or praise. It also means to give thanks, to confess. But it comes from 3:27, and the word is yad, which is hand. We've talked about this before. On the blog talk shows across Kul Alahim, whether it's me or one of the other brothers or one of the other teachers, about how concrete the Hebrew language is. Not abstract, but they wrote, they spoke according to things they experienced or they could, that was tangible to their senses. So when we think about the word hand, we got to think about the attributes of a hand. The hand has power physically. It has strength because it's the hand that you're using to do something. And we're going to look what's the connection between the hand and offering praise. What's interesting about this word is that the same word, yada, also can mean confession. When we think about confession, we always think about it in a negative connotation, I guess because of our exposure to Catholicism, where people went to the confessional booth to confess the things they've done wrong. But when we're praising, we're confessing, or we're speaking about the good things that the Father has done for us. When we praise Him, the scriptures talk in many places of lifting up holy hands. This is the connection between Yad and praise. When we lift up our hands in praise, we're in a motion saying, I'm dedicating my work, my power, my strength to the Most High. We're signifying His exalted position because He is on high. What came to my mind when the Father was walking me through this lesson is how smoke rises. And an integral part of sacrifices in ancient Israel was the incense altar. And when you light the incense, it produced a smoke, and the smoke went up. It went upwards. So when we're lifting up our hands to praise the Most High, we are mimicking the upward motion of how everything goes back to the Father. Everything goes back to the Father. If we even look in nature, you know, things in nature defies science. And why I say that is they say that science teach that everything stays on the planet because of gravity, which is true. There's a gravitational force that allows human beings, allows objects to stay grounded on Earth, that we are not able to go floating around in the atmosphere. But then we have to ask, how come there's things in the environment that defies that by growing up? When we think about a tree, the gravitational pull is not so much that a tree cannot break that and grow upwards, or grass, or any vegetation. They all grow upwards. That's because everything in creation is created to give praise and glory to the Most High. He is elevated. He is on high. There is nothing beyond Yah. Let's take a look at another word in the for praise. And this time we're going to go to the Hebrew number 8416. And this word is Tehillah. Tehillah. And this might sound familiar to some of us because if we have the scriptures, which is an edition of the quote-unquote Holy Bible. The scriptures, what they did was they replaced a lot of Greek-Latin words with two Hebraic words. So you go to the book of Psalms, it is not called Psalms, it is called Tehillim. It has that I-M at the end because it's plural. Tehillah is singular, meaning one praise, and Tehillim is plural. So that's why we have the Book of Psalms, which is a book of songs or hymns written by various people, mostly by King Dawood. And they're about exalting the Father. But this word Tehillah comes from Numbers 1984, which means Hallel. And again, this should sound familiar to us because the highest praise that we can offer to Yah is Hallelujah. We have that same word, halal, there. And what that means is to shine, to flash forth, to light, to boast, to glory, to make show. And when we're praising the Father, what we're doing is we're shining the light on Him. He is the star. He is the one that we are exalting. We're making the show of. When we share the goodness of Yah, we're telling someone, this is the star of the show. Let me introduce you to the star of the show, the one that brings forth everything, Yah. What I like about this word, one of the synonyms they use to define Hallel is the word boast. And we look up the word boast in Webster's Dictionary. It means a reason to be proud, something impressive that someone or something has done. So when we're giving praise to the Father, what we're doing is we're boasting that He has done. Does the word boast sound familiar, like another English word? Well, it sounds just like the word boost, which means to increase the force or the power or the amount of something, to push up from below. And that is no way to say the Father is below, but we got to think about when we're boosting the Father or boasting in Him, the person that we're talking to or the people that we're speaking to about the goodness or the glory of the Most High, in their mind, we are elevating the greatness of Yah. We are increasing the force and the power that He has in their own lives, in their own minds, because of our confession and testimony of how great our Elohim is. Proverbs 27, 1 and 2, I'm going to read it in your hearing, says here, boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. In other words, one of the things that we do as human beings is like we like to boast on ourselves. And sometimes we forget that anything that we are able to do, we are able to do it because the Father gives us strength to do it. If you are able to stand in the gap for a brother or a sister, or if you are able to encourage and edify and uplift your spouse and the brethren, it is because the Father has given you a spirit to do so and a consciousness to choose to obey the Spirit that is within us. We have to get out of the habit of boasting in ourselves, because this is what we do. If I'm boasting about myself, that means I am not giving credit where credit is due, and that credit belongs to the Father. Instead of saying, I did something, why not simply say, the Father gave me the strength to do this, thus, and so. Shine that light back on Yah. He deserves it. He is worthy. Today we're going to look through a good couple of scriptures, because I said it before and I just want to reiterate it. This is not the mouth of the show. This is just about us looking to what the Word says. The Word is our teacher. So let the Word teach us so we can understand what the Father wants us to receive, that we can now, written in the book of James, it says, let us not be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. After we go through these lessons that the Father has given us, now it is our responsibility and it is our expectation. It's the Father's expectation that now we will use these weapons when we come up against the enemy. So why is praise important? Why is this something that is important? And as I wrote this question down, the only thing that can come into my mind is there is none good but the Father. And sometimes we have to be reminded of that. When we are boasting in others, when we are boasting in ourselves and the people that we're boasting in disappoint us, as you boast in yourself, you stumble. And I think the Father allows that in a gentle way to humble us, to remind us that it belongs in him and none of ourselves. So there is none good but the Father. And our opening song, I try to let it play all the way out because all the glory belongs to Yah. He is worthy. He is worthy of our praise. And what we need to remember is unclean demonic spirits hate being in the presence of praise because they are demonic. But I also believe when it comes to our chief enemy, HaSatan, that when we read in, I believe it's Ezekiel, and it talks about Hillel, his name wasn't Lucifer, just so we know, that's a lie. His name was not Lucifer. The funny thing is, I don't have the scripture in front of me, but in the English it says Lucifer. When you look at it in the Hebrew and you go back to the concordance number, it has nothing to do with the letter, the sound of Lucifer. His name was Hillel. And that should sound familiar because we just said that one of the words of praise comes from 1984, which is Halal. When we read through that book in Ezekiel, what we see is that he actually was a leader in worship in heaven because the scriptures describe him as having pipes inside of him. What are pipes? Think about an organ if you've ever been to a church. So he was a vessel of praise. We know that, like I said, because of his name. So when the adversary got cast out of heaven, he lost that position of leading his brothers to worship the Most High. And he is bitter about it. He is angry that he cannot do this anymore. He left his first position, but now we have the honor to be able to glorify our Father and to praise him. And so if we are being surrounded by demonic forces, start praising the Father, whether you're speaking it or you're singing it, even if you're listening to the music or you're dancing along to it, to worship Yah. This is something that demonic spirits flee from. Not only demonic spirits that might be around us, but demonic spirits that might be working in us. Spirit of confusion, spirit of depression, spirit of anger. These spirits are not of Yah, spirits that are trying us. So we want to overcome these unclean spirits that are trying to hold us down. We want to lift up our voice and pray to Father so these spirits would flee from us. Let's take a look at Psalm Tehillim chapter 22, and we're going to go to verse 3. It says, "But you are set apart, O you that inhabit the praises of Yisrael." Hallelujah. The word inhabit, I mean, just think about what the word inhabits means. It means to live with. When we look at the word in the Greek concordance, in the Hebrew concordance, it is number 3427, it's yashab, but it means to dwell, to remain, to sit, or to abide. Yah told Moshe back in the book of Exodus, Exodus 25:8. He says, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell with them." And so they made this physical sanctuary that the Levites had to carry as they moved and set up. And this is where Yah met with the priest and met with Moshe and talked and got instruction, and they offered sacrifices. But now what we're supposed to be learning, because scripture says that we are the temple. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if we want the Father to dwell with us, if we want Yah to abide in us, we do that by praising him. Because we are his sanctuary. When we praise the Father, We are inviting him to dwell in us. And he dwells in us by way of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. So when we are praising the Father, we are building up our spiritual weaponry, because the Holy Spirit in us can do all things. It is the Spirit of the Most High. It is of the Most High. It's Yahushua said that he was going to send it back to us, and that once we received it, it was going to lead us into all truth. So if we want to strengthen our spiritual muscles, we want Yah to dwell in us by way of his Holy Spirit, and we invite that Holy Spirit to dwell with us by praising the Father. This is a powerful, powerful weapon in our arsenal, and we cannot take for granted how awesome it is to be able to praise Yah and to see our enemies scatter before our eyes, our faces. Being in a spirit of praise where you just feel like you're floating. You just feel burden free. You're just existing in a different realm. I will share this one story, because part of what we're doing today is just sharing how the praise has been effectuated in our own lives. I remember one day I was at work, and I was in the car getting ready to come home. I used to work nights. And so while the car is warming up, I'm singing there's a gospel song on my radio, and it's, my eyes are closed, and I'm just singing, and I'm there. You know, I'm there in the song. I'm there in the word. The song was about the kingdom, and I could see it. I mean, I was there. And when the song was over and I opened my eyes, the first thing I saw was the brick wall of the building that I worked in, and I literally started to cry. I started to cry because I experienced in my mind, in my spirit, being in the kingdom. And I got that experience because I was praising my Father. And trust me, the reality of still being here was so contrast to what I was experiencing that it brought tears to my eyes. Praising the Most High is not only transformational, it transcends time. It transcends our reality because it's spiritual. When we praise the Father, we are engaging our bodies in something. One of the things that came up when I was doing the study was, I'm not going to get a word for word correctly, but the writer said something along the lines that in ancient script, one of the words they used for people giving praise to the Father was fools. And we know that's true because we have a testimony that Dawood, when he was bringing in the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, that he danced out of his clothes. His wife was ashamed, figuring, you act like a peasant. You're behaving as a fool before these people. She was admonishing him for not being regal in his behavior, but he was a fool in praise because he had the honor of ushering in the Ark of the Covenant into Yerushalayim. And the Father punished her for it. He closed her womb. She bore no children because she chastised her husband instead of uplifting him as he worshipped before the Most High. Let's continue. We're going to go to Psalms. No surprise, a couple of our verses will be coming from the book of Psalms, healing. Psalms 99, and let's take a look at verse 5. It says, exalt Yah al-Alhim and worship at his footstool, for he is set apart. This is the goodness of Yah. Just think about it. Yah has no part in unrighteousness or any form of wickedness. He is all good, and he is worthy for all he has done for all of his creation. So Yah is not only concerned with mankind. He cared about all of his creation. That's why he decorates trees, the flowers. He embellishes them. Yeah, I like things to look good. I remember having a conversation with a sister, and that's what we talked about. Yeah, I like things to look good. And we know that because everything surrounds us is in color. He didn't create the world black and white, like the movie or the book, The Giver. Everything was in black and white because that made everything easy and non-confrontational and non-competitive. So everything was black and white. But that's not how the Father created his creation. He created color. He created different forms, and he embellished, he decorated the earth for us because he loves us. Like my brother said, he said, you got a strawberry and it was nice and sweet. I've made it for you. Everything he created for us. He cares about everything he created. Abba Yah cannot be made dirty. He cannot be made impure. He cannot lie. He cannot transgress. He gives right ruling and judgments. Hallelujah. This is who we serve. This is our mighty one. How can we not praise him and lift up our voices to him? Because he is worthy. He is worthy. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 1 says, "Oh yeah, you are my Elohim. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithful and true." Hallelujah. I've been doing a lot of thinking, studying, meditating on gratitude. This morning my daughter and I were talking about gratitude, how important it is to be grateful. Last night I'm grateful and thankful that the Father led me to watch a 30-minute lesson, I guess, or lecture on changing your frequency, you know, because we know that there's positive energy, there's negative energy. We are all made of energy. The Father, he is energy. And one of the things that she said that scientifically can be proven is that when you are in a spirit of gratitude, it changes, it lifts up your energy, it lifts up your frequency. Because when you're thanking and you're being grateful about something, in your imagination, you're just feeling good about something. Being thankful. If we sat down in the evenings and just went through our day of all the little blessings that the Father allowed us to experience, taking nothing for granted, if it's as simple as, I heard a song on the radio I haven't listened to in a long time. And that song made me happy. Be grateful for that. Or you went to the gas station and you didn't have to wait for a pump. These things might seem mundane, but think about the opposite. If you went to the gas station, you had to wait 3 or 4 cars ahead of you, you were running late. Or you went to the 7-Eleven, you got a good cup of coffee. Think about how you would feel if you went to the 7-Eleven and you got a bad cup of coffee. So when we are exalting the Father, it has to be personal. We have to look into ourselves and know why we are praising him. What are we grateful for, Israel, sisters and brothers? What are we grateful for? Stop taking the blessings and the favor of Yah for granted. The thing that the Father bestowed upon us, but I'm realizing it is all a favor because none of us deserve the blessing of the Father because we are sinners. And the scriptures teach that he has no part with sinners, but it's because of grace and because we have belief in Yahushua, Mashiach, that he extends himself to us. He is showing us a favor. And we should be grateful. We should be praising him for all of that. Our next scripture, Isaiah 61:3, last night my brother touched this in his lesson on Blog Talk, how the spirit of heaviness is driven away by praise. Are you feeling depressed? Are you sad? Are you crying? Are you hurting? Are you giving up hope? He shared last night, my brother, something that someone posted on Facebook of, I'm telling you, the first couple of sentences, all I heard was this person was just ready to end their life. Are you suicidal? And we think it doesn't happen in Israel. It does happen. Because we're human beings. And until we trust or grow to trust the Father, sometimes we just lose hope. But these are the times that we have to use what the Father has given us to overcome these spirits. And that is praise. To praise him. To uplift him. So you might be asking, well, how do I praise? You might be surprised. A lot of things that we take for granted, there's a lot of people who don't know how to do, and this is not to put anyone down. I've been asked, how do you fast? I can't remember someone specifically asking me, how do you praise? But I can imagine there's people out there thinking, well, how do I praise? How do I really praise the Father? How do I begin to praise the Father? And a simple way, the first thing that comes to my mind is just be thankful. Examine your life. Recognize what Yah has done for you and be thankful. And share it with someone else. It's not always easy for us to share good things with someone for whatever reason. But one of the things I know the Father wants is he wants to be glorified. And it's not because he is a conceited mighty one. He knows his worth. He knows his value. He knows that he deserves it. And there's nothing conceited about knowing your worth. That's one of the issues in our community today, with brothers and sisters not living the worth that they are because they don't know their worth. So sisters walk around dressed half-naked, immodestly, laying down with men, thinking they're getting love that way. Men defiling themselves by laying down with different women, stealing maybe, robbing, selling drugs, because they don't know their worth. Molly has a song, Royalty. He says, you know, would you, to the sisters, would you allow yourself to be called the B word if you knew that you were a queen? He says to the men, would you be risking your life for green paper if you knew you had it all? But see, y'all don't have those kind of insecurities. He knows who he is. He knew before there was anything else created that he was the only one. He said out of his word, out of his own mouth, that if there is another mighty one, he said, I don't know it. I don't know of them. So he knows his worth, and he knows he deserves to be glorified, and he deserves it. So if we're trying to start to praise the Father, start by being thankful, telling him what you're thankful for, and then sharing it. Just simply saying, you know, oh, my goodness, the Father showed me favor. I got to work, and there was a parking spot waiting for me. I don't take those things for granted. Because I know there's been times where I have to park somewhere far. You have to park somewhere far. And how good it feels to get somewhere, and the parking spot just seems to be waiting for you. And what I know what I say is Todayah. Todayah. Scriptures teach in Deuteronomy, I believe it is, that when we become wealthy, that we don't forget our beginnings. Deuteronomy 6, I believe it is. That when we get rich, when we get wealth, that we don't forget our mighty one. And one way we won't forget him is we're constantly confessing and rehearsing in the ears of others the goodness that he does. It keeps us humble a lot of what the Father is teaching us goes right back to humility. Take your eyes off yourself. Stop boasting in yourself and boasting Yah. Shine the light on Him, not on yourself. Not on what you do, not on what you can do, but knowing that I can do all things through Mashiach who strengthens me. And we know that He strengthens us by His Ruach HaKodesh, His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So another easy way for us to begin to praise the Father is by reading the Psalms. Going through the Psalms. There's plenty of Psalms that praise the Father. Psalms 146 to 50 is considered the Hallelujah Psalms because that's the first word in the beginning of those Psalms is Hallelujah. And the term Hallelujah, interestingly enough, is only found in the book of Psalms. And we talked about Hallel earlier as far as praise, but then we have Yah, which we know is the Father's proper name. When you look in Psalm 68:4, it says, extol Him who rides on the heavens with His name, Yah. Because we think about Hallelujah being one word, it's actually a compound word. When you look in the Hebrew, you have the Hallel, Hallelu, and then you have the Yah, sometimes off by itself. When you put it together, it is praise you, Yah. That's the highest praise you can give to the Father. So if you're having difficulty in praising the Father, try praising Him through the Psalms. I'm going to read Psalms 147. And one of the things that I'm grateful for is how the Father has designed, have ordered the worship service at Beth Yahweh, because we sing the Psalms, a handful of the Psalms, and we actually sing from all of the Hallelujah Psalms, 146 to 50, to 150, including others. But I'm going to share 147 because I think this is a good psalm that confesses and boasts in Yah. In the things that He has done for Israel and the kind of heart that He has for us. So let's read through Psalms 147 together. And it reads, Hallelujah, for it is good to sing praises unto our Elohim, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. Yahweh does build up Yerushalayim. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the broken in heart. He binds up their wounds. He tells the number of the stars. He calls them all by their names. Great is our Master and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Yahweh lifts up the meek. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto Yahweh with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our mighty one, who covers the heaven with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow upon the mountain. He gives to the beasts his food and to the young ravens which cry. He delights not in the strength of the horse. He takes not pleasure in the legs of a man. Yahweh takes pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. Hallelujah, O Yerushalayim, praise Elohim, O Zion, for He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children in your midst. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest of wheat. He sends forth His commandments upon the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the hoarfrost like ashes. He casts forth His ice like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? He sends out His word and melts them. He calls His wind to blow, and the waters flow. He shows His word unto Yaakov, unto Yisrael. He has not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Hallelujah. Now, as you glean through Psalms 147, what we have here is Dawood give an example of why we should praise the Father. So many things that we can, this is a good place for us to begin for those who are looking for a way to praise the Father. Meditate back over 147 or look at 146 through 150 and see which one talks to your heart. And really just meditate on the things Yah has done for us as a people, what he has done in your personal life, how he delivered you in your personal life, and let that be how you glorify him, exalt him, and you magnify him because he is worthy. There's nothing, there is not one person on this planet that do not have a reason to praise the Most High. Someone posted a picture yesterday I saw of children in a poor population, and they were all skin and bones, and they were impoverished. And the caption said, tell them that God is good. As if I can't do that because these kids are impoverished. Yah is good because those kids are all alive. They have the breath of life. While they're on this planet alive, they have an opportunity to come to know the Mighty One. And if they never had the opportunity in this life, then in the world to come, they might be given the opportunity to know who the Father is, if they were never given that chance on this side of life. So they, you're alive, you could be grateful because you are made in the image and the likeness of the Most High Yah. Sometimes the adversary uses situations in our lives to make us feel that my life just sucks. Not, this is not my personal story, but I was raped or I was molested or I was, I became a drug addict, or I was a prostitute, or all of these things that you might have been. Where can you find a place to praise the Father? It will be difficult, but it's easy once you look beyond your situation and know that there is a Mighty One that is working out something in your life. He is giving you a testimony. Joyce Meyer, her greatest testimony is the fact that her father raped her until she was 17, 18 years old. Got caught one day in a car, and he told the police officer that was his girlfriend. It was his daughter. And even though it was devastating for her, and she had to go through many, many years of healing, she took her test and made a testimony and was able to give Yah the glory because he delivered her and he healed her. And before her father closed his eyes, not only did she forgive him, but she was taking care of him. So our situation is not always good. It's not so bad that we cannot make room to be grateful for something. We just have to look through different eyes, look through a different set of glasses, because I believe the scripture said all things work for the good for those who are in Mashiach, and it might not be easy to see what good it is in the situation you might be walking through right now. This is why we have to believe what the word says, and if you believe the word, then you believe that somehow good is going to come from this, and you glorify Yah because you know you will see what the good will be. That goes back to having faith. The adversary is allowed to do things in our life because the Father is proving us, Yisrael. My sisters, my brothers, he is proving our hearts. He is proving, do we love him? But every situation we go through is not always for our destruction. Some of it is for our building up. It's for our strengthening. It's for our edification. And some of it is just for the glory of Yah. What's coming to my mind is when Yahushua was in the temple and there was a man, I believe the man was crippled, and the disciples asked him, why is this man crippled? Is he crippled for his sins or the sins of his parents? That's a whole different teaching right there. Yahushua said, neither. He is crippled for the glory of the Son of Man. Because Yahushua healed that man and received the glory. So sometimes the things that we go through is for the glory of Yah. Because then he is able, he has an opportunity, he has the stage to now come in to our situation and heal it. Hallelujah. So in all things, we can find a place to praise the Father. Now we're going to look at two real examples in the scripture of the power or the deliverance that praise has. We're going to go to the book of Acts, chapter 16. And this is a situation when Paul and Silas are thrown in prison for something they didn't do. That's besides the point. And we're going to look at verse 23 to verse 26. But before I read, I just want to let those who are on the phone line know that if you would like to share an experience of when praise effectuated a change or a deliverance in your personal life, and the lines are open, you just have to press 1 on your keypad. That will show me that you want to share, and I'll open up the line and invite you into the conversation and give you the opportunity to share your testimony of how the Father did something for you because of praise. Go to Acts 16, and we'll start at verse 23. And the scripture says, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe." Now, they got the scripture says many stripes, which more than likely means they got more than they were supposed to get. Then they got thrown into prison. Now, mind you, Shaul and Silas did nothing wrong. They were innocent. Verse 24. "Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." So in other words, this jailer, because he was charged to keep them safe, he was like, okay, I'm going to make sure that nothing happened to these two. I'm going to put them in an inner prison, which will be harder for them to escape from, and then I'll put their feet in stocks. So they cannot even so much as get up. Verse 25, "And at midnight, Shaul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto Yah, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." Okay? What caused this? Shaul and Silas did something. They looked above their situation. They looked above, beyond their reality. People have to say, I'm a realist. I just deal with things as I know they are. Faith don't deal with that. Faith is expecting the impossible. The mighty one that we serve is a miracle worker. He's in the business of making miracles, not little miracles, big, big miracles. How do we know that? Because like one of my sisters said this week, the Father, he'd do more than enough. He said he had to split the whole Red Sea. He could have just did this and so. Nope, that's not what he wants. That's not how he rolls. He made a virgin who never been with a man have a child by the set apart spirit. He didn't have to do that either. So the thing the Father do, he wants us to know it was him. Because he said, "My glory I will give to no other. I will do what I do so you know that it was me." When he judged Korach and his company, he told Moshe, said that his father, he said, "Yah is going to do a new thing in the earth." which means that has never happened before. See, this is the mighty one we serve. If anybody else can do it, it's not special. Go back to the 10 plagues. Moshe and Aaron, or Aaron threw his staff down, Tom turns into a snake. The Egyptian magicians did the same thing. Oh, Yah said, oh, really? Okay, bet. Watch what I do now. Walk them through 10 plagues, with the last one being the death of the firstborn. Now, how could anybody on this planet know every firstborn human being in the whole country of Mitzrayim? But the Spirit of Yah knew, because he knows everything. So Yah do things in a big way. So here we have Shaul and Silas praying and singing songs, and the prisoners are hearing this. They're probably thinking, yo, what is up with these two cats? Because in ancient days, there were no lights. There were no lights. They're literally sitting in the dark. And in the midst of their situation, they prayed and they sang praise to Yah. And something happened, created an earthquake. You hear me, Israel? We can shake up this world by praising Yah. I'm going to say it again. We can shake up this world by praising our Elohim. It shook the whole foundation. Are there some things in our lives that we need this foundation shook? Is there some situations we need to be broken down? Are you praising over it? Are you praising around it? But then look at what happened. When the doors were open, it wasn't only Shaul and Silas' doors that were open. It was every door in the prison. So what's coming to my mind now? Isaiah 56, I believe it's 56, where Yahushua said that he came to set free those in bonds. So here we have other people benefiting from the worship and the praise of Shaul and Silas. Not only were their doors open, everybody who had a handcuff or were in stocks were all loose. Isaiah 61. But all of this happened because Shaul and Silas looked beyond their situation. They sit in that prison saying, woe is me, oh my father, oh yeah, why do you make this happen to us? You know we were innocent. We sat before these judges and they, where were you, Yah? No, they sat in that prison and they sang probably Psalms, and they prayed to their Elohim, because Brother Shaul, he took a lot of pride in being persecuted. You know, we don't always welcome it, but Brother Shaul, he knew that there were great benefits in it, because Yahushua said that the world was going to do this to us. He said, the servants that greater than the master, if they do this to me, they're going to do worse to you. So Shaul somewhere said that he found it a great gain to suffer for the name of Messiah. For us, sometimes we don't want to suffer for Messiah. But if we're suffering for Messiah, that's even a greater reason for us to praise him. Because we know that we will be rewarded. Because it's not just us that's suffering, it's Messiah suffering in us. All right, so let's go to, this is going to be my last scripture. Again, looking at the power or the effectiveness of praise. And then it looks like I have one person who wants to share. So I'm going to read the scripture, then I open the prayer line. And I think this is Sister Zim. So, Sister Zim, I will get to you right after we read this last scripture. We're looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children at Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea, on this side Syria, and behold, there be in Hazazontamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and sent himself to seek Yahweh and proclaim a fast throughout all Yehuda. And Yehuda gathered themselves together to ask help of Yahweh. Even out of all the cities of Yehuda, they came to seek Yahweh. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Yehuda and Jerusalem in the house of Yahweh before the new court, and said, "O Yahweh Elohim of our forefathers, are you not mighty one in heaven, and rule not you over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in your hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand you? Are you not our Elohim, who did drive out inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built you a sanctuary, therefore, therein for your name, saying, if when evil comes upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in your presence, for your name is in this house, and cry unto you in our affliction, then will you hear and help." Now, I'm going to stop right there, because what King Jehoshaphat just did was reminded Yah through prayer of his own word. "Didn't you say that if we did thus and so and thus and so, that you would do thus and so, thus and so? Aren't you our mighty one? Didn't you fulfill your promises to Abraham?" He's reminding the Father, not that the Father forgot. But he's not coming with his own righteousness. He is coming to proclaim the righteousness of Elohim. "Because you've done all these things, Father, because you've delivered us thus far, Father, you have to now continue to protect us because we are your children." This is Jehoshaphat praying. So we can learn how to have that effective prayer before Yah. Okay. Verse 10. So now, after he's done reminding the Father of the things he has done for Israel and how they're the words that he has promised to Israel, he now brings his petition to Yah. Verse 10. "And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Mizraim, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. O Elohim, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that come against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you." And all Yehuda stood before Yahweh with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Yahaziel, the son of Zachariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Yeiel, the son of Mataniah, and Levite of the son of Asaph, came the spirit of Yahweh in the midst of the congregation. I'm going to stop right there, because Asaph, if we remember from memory, going back to the book of Psalms, that we see many places where it says a psalm of Asaph. So Asaph was an order of priests where their responsibility was the praising, the singing, the worshiping of Yah. So now here we have this man, Yahaziel, whose name means beheld of Elohim. We have him housing now the spirit of Yah. And this is what he says. Verse 15. "Hearken, you all Yehuda and all inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith Yahweh unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but Yah's. tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up of this, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Urael. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of Yah with you, O Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Don't fear nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for Yahweh will be with you. So in other words, you're going to go out there like you're going to fight. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Yehuda and the inhabitants of Yerushalayim fell before Yahweh, worshiping Yahweh. And the Levites of the children of Kohathites and of the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise Yahweh, Elohim of Yisrael, with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Yehuda, and you inhabitants of Yerushalayim, believe in Yahweh Elohim, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto Yahweh, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise Yahweh, for his mercy endures forever." And when they began to sing and to praise Yahweh, Yahweh set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Yehuda, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Yehuda came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, and they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Beracha, for there they blessed Yahweh. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Beracha unto this day. Then they returned every man of Yehuda and Yerushalayim and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Yerushalayim with joy, for Yahweh had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Yerushalayim with psalteries, and harps and trumpets into the house of Yahweh. And the fear of Elohim was a kingdom of those countries. When they had heard that Yahweh fought against the enemies of Israel, so the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his mighty one gave him rest round about. Hallelujah. And I really like this passage of scripture because we see a combination of the three weapons we've been discussing these past couple of weeks. We see the first thing Jehoshaphat did was call a fast. Then he came and he prayed. Then the priests, they worshiped. They praised. When they went out to battle, they praised. And what did Yah do? Yah had Ammonites and the Moabites fight and destroy those of Mount Seir. Then the Moabites and Ammonites fought each other. There was not one person alive. And Israel fought no one, benefited, because it took them 3 days to gather the spoil of their enemies. What a dynamic testimony of the power of praising Elohim. Hallelujah. He is mighty indeed. I'm going to open up the line. Looks like this is Zim. Let me open up the line. Shalom, sis, you're on the air.
Shalom, how you doing, Nicole T?
Hallelujah, blessed. Good to hear you.
Good. I'm so thankful that you are doing this today. I mean, it was Oh, my goodness. It's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. I'm just so thankful you were obedient to the Most High today and you put this together. Thank you so much. And I wanted to give my testimony as to how praise has affected my life and how through the praises in which I've given at certain times, it's been a healing to me. And I know that that is true. There's been situations where I've gone through a depression for whatever reason, or there's been things that have happened in my life in which what I did was I went and closed the door, okay? And I take my word in there, and sometimes I don't even play the guitar. I take my guitar and I strum on that. Sometimes I'll beat on the drum. Sometimes I'll take an instrument. Sometimes I don't have anything but my word and my voice. And I will praise myself out of the situation, praising and edifying the Most High, because I know that through those praises, he encourages us and he is exalted in our praise. You know, my name, Zemria, it means a big praise for Yah.
Hallelujah.
That's what it means, a big praise, a huge gathering of people praising. And I have seen people be touched and moved to the point of happiness and joy, or even of being somber and considering the words of Yah. I've been in situations where I've seen music heal. I've seen it actually literally touch. There's certain songs, and we all can give testimony to that, that we will turn on in our bad or good situations. We will turn it on for the purpose of changing our hearts. There's music for everything. There's music for work. When you need to work and clean your house, you use certain music to lift you up, to give you energy. You use certain music for if you need to meditate and to consider.
Yes.
You use that because it's all, and I'm glad you put it this way, it's a weapon. It is. It's a weapon. It is a weapon in the soldier's hand, and we need to use it. You know, and I just wanted to say that, again, I've seen it be a healer. And even to the point where the Most High will give you a new song. He will give you a song to sing. He will give you a melody. Like you say, you sing the Psalms. I've heard it. He will give, and I've done it. You'll be in the midst of praising him, and all of a sudden you will hear an interruption. Go to Psalm such and such.
Hallelujah.
And you open up that Psalm, and the melody will be right there. Right? I mean, you just sing that thing out, and the melody will be right there. That's the way the Most High wanted you. It ain't got nothing to do with you.
That's
about the praise. It's about what he wants. So if we utilize it, if we utilize it for what its intended purpose is, Israel can be so much more uplifted. We can be so much. We can't be afraid of that. See, the world has taught us, you know, from where we came from. You know where we came from. Where they used it in order to manipulate your emotions.
Yeah.
They used it. But we can't do that. We have to use it for what its intended purpose is. And that's
Hallelujah.
To heal, that's to uplift, that's to encourage. And we need that. We need that like we need the teacher to teach us. We need the praise. How much more uplifted and how much more understanding and knowledge will we have is if the teacher teach and we praise.
Yes.
Come right alongside it. You know, the understanding will be open so much more further. So thank you so much. I appreciate you. I really, really appreciate you. Thank you.
Hallelujah. I told us so much for calling in. It was always a pleasure. I'm just praising the Father for always, you know, leading us to what we need to do as his children. And it was an honor, and I thank you for calling in. I have someone else on the line that wants to call in. Caller 240, you're on the
Hello,
air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Shalom, Mako. This is Hannah. I was calling to give a testimony. Shalom, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay, because I'm in the garage at my job. I was just calling to give a testimony about the power of fasting and praise and worship and how it affected me last week. Last week I had a situation to where though my gas was turned off on Monday or Tuesday, one of the days, and I didn't even know I paid gas. I thought that I just paid Pepco bill electric. And the gas was turned off. I called around. I got a plumber, electrician, everything to check it out. And they all were like, your gas is off. So I'm like, it's no way my gas is off because I don't pay a gas bill. Well, come to find out when I called Pepco, I do pay gas, and my gas was turned off. So when I called Washington Gas, the people that controls the gas in my neighborhood, they told me that they turned my gas off because I didn't pay my bill in 5 years. So I'm like, okay, I never got a bill. I don't pay gas. I'm still saying I don't pay gas. They're like, well, yes, you do pay gas. I'm like, okay, well, I never got a bill. I never got a letter from y'all or anything. So they told me I had to go into the office, all these different things. And when I went into the office, they were like, look, we're not going to cut your gas back on until you pay this five-year gas bill.
Mm-mm-mm.
Mind you, they did not even have a gas bill for me. They like, we got to generate one. It's going to take 72 hours. So I was like, well, in the meantime, it's cold in my house. I have no stove.
Right.
You know, I have no heat. I have a baby there. Are you serious? And they're like, yeah, well, we can't do nothing for you. And, I mean, they were really nasty towards me. So the next day I start calling around all these different places. I went all the way to, like, the corporate office. They still was like they couldn't do nothing for me. It's no way that I did not know that I didn't pay gas. Now, who don't send you a bill for 5 years? Like, who allows the gas to be on for 5 years, period, and then turn it off one day out of nowhere? So that Friday, I think it was Friday. Yeah, Friday, I woke up. And I was like, you know what? I started like really worrying about it, and really just being upset about it, crying and everything. And something was like, fast, pray. So I was like, okay, I start going through my phone. I'm looking for people to fast with me. And I'm like, I need some real prayer warriors, some real holy people to fast with me. And I reached out to you, Imam Moria, and my aunt in South Carolina. And we all began to just fast. This day, and even in the midst of fasting and praying, I was still getting a hard time. I was talking to the senator, the mayor office, the health department. I mean, I just wasn't getting nowhere. And I was at work, and usually in my office, it's like really, really busy. And at this time, it just got real quiet in the office, and I was just sitting at the desk, and I was like, y'all, what I'm going to do now? I was really just really upset. I'm like, this ain't working. I need your help. And something was like, get up and just start praising. And I mean,
hallelujah.
I walked through my office to see if somebody was in the office. And literally, it's always like, it's like 10 people walking around right now. I'm looking through the door. But it was literally empty. And I just began to worship. And I didn't even care if somebody came in. I just began to praise and just thank Yah. And like you said, sometimes we don't even know how to praise. And I just began to praise him and worship him and thank him for having a house, for having food,
hallelujah.
You know, for having my lights on. It could have been worse. And I just began to praise and worship. And literally, I must have been in praise for like 15, 20 minutes. And as soon as I finished, it's like all the officers walked back in the office. But when I left work, I had already made up my mind. I was like, you know what, y'all, we just going to gun it out. I'm going to go to my brother's house and take a shower. I could go to the gym. We just going, you know, I was thinking about getting heaters. I'm like, you know, just forget it. It's done. There's nothing else I could do. And on my way home, the top head man in the corporate office of Washington Gas called me. And, I mean, he was mean. He was very mean. But something in my spirit was telling me, like, you know what, just let him talk. Don't argue. Because I've been arguing with the people for the last couple of days. And when I tell you, this man was like, you know what, Ms. Mack, we're going to come turn your gas off. He like, I'm going to have somebody there before 7 o'clock. You're going to be there. I'm like, yeah. He said, now, you still got to pay the bill, but I'm going to turn the gas on. And everybody else was like, you have to pay the gas bill first. And I just began to just praise Yah because I was already prepared for the battle. I just began to just praise him and worship him because, like, they was coming to turn my gas on. And then when they got there to turn the gas on, the man who was putting the gas on for me, he was telling me how the man who actually sent him to put on my gas is, like, the meanest man. He don't do no favors. He was telling me how this man will dig up your ground to get your gas can and come back 2 weeks later to make sure you ain't got no gas. No exaggerating. He was like, how did you get him to do it? And it gave me an opportunity to be able to show him about my Elohim. And I was like, well, you know God? He was like, yeah, I know God. I was like, well, I serve an awesome Elohim. And then
hallelujah.
Me and a man just began to, we just began to talk, you know, and I just began to tell him about the Sabbath day and all these other things. And it just showed me, like, praise does work. Fasting, praying, praise and worship, it opens up any doors. And it's not the first time I see y'all do it. That's why I knew exactly what I needed to do. And it was in my spirit, like, remember the things of, oh, I did this before for you. And it just also gave y'all an opportunity to let this man know about him, the true and living Elohim, you know, the real God, the real Messiah, the real HaMashiach. So I just wanted to just that testimony that, like Malcolm was saying earlier, y'all does all these things for his glory. And, you know, I was joking with Malcolm about, you know, y'all is so extreme. He could have just been like, nah, I want you to fast this week. But he had to go all the way through all that, turn the gas off for 5-year bill, make me run around and do all these different things because he's an extreme God. He is just... But he is just that master, that supreme, that always shows, like, look, I'm about to get some glory out of you. You ain't been praying. You ain't been fasting. You ain't been going to service. So let me do something and round up your whole life and just, you know, and I just want to give him glory right now and just praise him now. Hallelujah. Y'all is awesome. I want to share my testimony with y'all.
Hallelujah. Y'all is indeed great and wonderful, and I just pray that everyone that was listening to the show today, that they got some upliftment and they're going to use these tools, glory of Yah, and to break some of these spiritual strongholds they have going on over their lives. Family, I'm going to go ahead and say shalom. Thank everyone for listening, and Yah willing, we'll be together again next week. Getting ready to march towards that Pesach Seder. Till next time, family, shalom.
Shalom.